Let's freaking go. It's BHL Live presented by our friends at Kettle. Are you kidding me? Bauer Sharp. This is one of the more insane practice highlights I can remember. Holy crap. I cannot believe this hurdle. Okay. I love the 12 personnel. You saw Tre'Davious Green go out on a route right there, get some good pressure. This should have been a sack. But they did not call it. Obviously, it's just practice. And you get this football here to Sharp, and he hurdles Jaden Osberry right here. I mean, look at this, okay? Don't forget, this is your chance to go win Will Campbell's NFL Draft Day watch. Make sure you go to the site, kettle.shop/PHLSU. Okay, now coming up, we're going to break down some of the other practice highlights that were released from spring. LSU decided to put out some big-time highlights from over the last couple of weeks, if you will, and we will tell you if there is anything that you could draw from those highlights. We say hi to Cliff. We say hi to Hey Hey. We say hi to RSX. And look, if I'm an LSU fan, I would be a little bit more worried about next season. And it's for a reason that we talk about quite a bit here on PHL. Let's get to it.
Let's go
on a journey together with Zion Imaging. I want you. Go. I am so excited to play some of these highlights for you today that LSU decided to release. We're also going to talk some LSU baseball and some really bad news when it comes to LSU basketball. Okay. So I want you to take a look at these highlights. We'll speed them up for you just a little bit here because there are so many different things you can break down from it. Okay. That's actually an interception right there. That is number three, DJ Pickett making a play versus Brown. I think that's actually Braden Swinson right there celebrating him along with Coach Raymond. There you go. I love to see it. Jamari Roscoe, an assistant defensive line coach, mixed in there as well. There was a lot of Jawan Johnson quarterback highlights mixed in here. And there you go. Jawan Johnson making plays at QB. You love to see it. And once again, these are quite a few of the backups defensively going at it. But there you go. Oh, I'm getting called out. I didn't move my car. I didn't know I was supposed to move my car. Gotta love the old wifey. John says, I'm saying Sharp leads LSU in tight end yardage, but you say Tre'Davious Green is the better athlete by a small margin. You know, what's interesting with Sharp is of the two, he... Oh, you made it? There you go. Sharp is the faster of the tight ends. But I think Tre'Davious Green has the larger catch radius, which is pretty obvious. He is probably the better receiver out of the two, even though Sharp did lead Oklahoma in all catches. You see a play mixed in there by Destin Hill. Hopefully he is fully healthy next year. This is the Sharp rep that you just saw a minute ago. And there you go. Look, as far as this play is concerned, this just shows you what Sharp brings you. I think when you compare him to Mason Taylor, he's not as good of a blocker, not as well-rounded as Mason Taylor, but he is definitely faster. This is one of the fastest tight ends LSU has ever had. You can go back to, I'm trying to think of some other tight ends you would consider to be fast. Obviously, Stephon Sullivan would be one of those. This was a ridiculous run right here by Caden Durham. I mean, look at this bounce read right here. I want to play this one again. This is really good. And you see a really good block on the edge by, I think that's Tre'Davious Green. Yeah, I didn't get a good enough look to see if that was potentially a hold right there on Jack Pyburn. But look at the speed to run past zero right there, which is Tamarcus Cooley. Man, Caden Durham might be the best home run hitting back we have had. I mean, Clyde was a good home run hitter, but Mendura might be better in that aspect. Obviously, he's faster than Clyde. So really excited about that. This was a Jakeem Jackson interception versus Nick Anderson. This was definitely one of my favorite plays that we saw from spring. You love to see it. And obviously, if Jakeem Jackson is a stud next year, it helps out in a major way. And there's Michael Turner with the pick versus Chris Hilton. So there you go. If you want me to do a deeper film study, like pre-recorded film study, I would love to do it on just those little clips. There's a thousand different things you're able to still see in that little bit of time. Now, a few things as far as LSU news is concerned. We are waiting for the one player that they are really pursuing in the transfer portal right now, which is A.J. Halsey, a really talented safety out of Houston, started his career at New Mexico, and he is going to name his price, and whoever pays it will get it. But I don't think it's just about the moolah for him. You know, this feels like Dominic Williams, if you will, where Dominic Williams was at a big position of need, defensive tackle, and LSU made a fiscally smart decision not paying Dominic Williams what he was asking, in my opinion, but he was a big position at a big position of need, and he would have helped out LSU greatly last year. Greatly. But it wasn't worth it. Might be the same situation here with AJ, who I think would be LSU's best safety next year. Okay, I really do think so. And I wish last year we would have been more active in what was a good transfer safety market a little bit earlier in the cycle. But whatever the case may be, LSU feels confident. Like we shared yesterday, and we'll share it again. We are we're feeling good about where we are right now, or at least the actual people in the building feel good about where LSU is right now with their roster. Okay, let's go to Isaiah. He's getting a lot of comments saying that this was a really good question. Whatever happened to the safety that was supposed to get in the portal that was playing on one of the teams in the playoffs? were we supposed to get somebody? All right. So this is a really good question. It was also very speculative. So one guy that was rumored to potentially be portal bound was Derek Williams, who was a Louisiana native. Okay. I don't know how strong of a rumor that is. It's just that he's from South Louisiana. LSU recruited him really hard, and it didn't work out. I've gotten to know a little bit about this man. I know someone in his inner circle, and he could play. He could flat out play. And his high school grade for me was really good. And it just didn't work out. He decided to go to Texas. And it's not as if he didn't spend a lot of time on LSU's campus. So why was this even rumored? Well, Texas lost him last year with an injury. And Texas's safety room was still one of the best in the country, with Taff, who returns for them, number 16, and Makuba, who just got drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. That was one safety who was in the portal that was kind of sort of linked to LSU, but he decided, of course, to stay on 40 acres. Look, this was a very public report today. We don't have to play this team on our schedule next year, which is perfectly fine with me. But Texas is going to have the deepest roster next year. They're also going to be paying the most. It was reported by Kirk Bowles, who is a longtime reporter. So this isn't some message board guy who has a lot to gain by making up something. He's a reporter who makes a six-figure salary, who doesn't need clicks. He reported today that Texas's roster will be a $35 to $40 million roster. Let me repeat, a $35 to $40 million roster. Now, why is this roster that expensive? Well, number one, when you're a booster and you see that you are so damn close to actually winning the whole thing, you are so dang close versus Ohio State, You want to fork over the cash to get you over the top. The second is because of the house settlement and the new NIL rules that are coming. And it's not NIL. I hate using that term, but it is the term. You know, where it's just purely pay for play and revenue sharing and all of that. A lot of boosters are willing to pay before the rules change. So they're just front loading as much cash because of fear that you can't just outbid for the best team anymore after this next year, because it's just going to be more heavily policed. All right. So that's why Texas is putting so much money into the forefront. I will also share that LSU has really done a lot. You know, there's always more you can do, but LSU really has put the foot on the gas trying to get more big money, trying to pump even more money into not only this roster, but the overall pool of money. Because, look, when the rules change, there is fear that you can't just put as much money to the table and just buy as many players as you possibly can. Okay, so it's not as if I don't think LSU could beat Texas in the playoff or hopefully the SEC championship game next year. It's just, you know, I do feel going into next year, Texas, even though they lost everything that they lost, I do feel they're still the favorites in the Southeastern Conference. So we will see what happens there. Now, as far as those other highlights are concerned, man, I just keep going back to Caden Durham. You know, I just continue to think he is somewhat under the radar and just somewhat undervalued going into next year. Am I worried about the overall rushing and the run game and the blocking and the play calling and all of that? Sure. There's a piece of me that is worried about that. I think about it honestly all the time. But I still go back to the schedule. There's a lot of teams that have huge question marks about their play calling and overall offense going into next year. Okay. Now, the next thing that I wanted to cover is today, and this is actually coming out tomorrow on Power Hour SEC, I decided to sit down and watch Lenore Sellers. And this is about what I do around this time of year. I really evaluate the quarterbacks that will be on LSU's schedule next year, okay? Because so much does come down to who you play at the quarterback position from the other team, okay? You know, so much of our season opening loss problem was just a simple fact that Jordan Travis was good for two consecutive seasons. He wasn't just good. He was a top 10, top 5-ish quarterback in all of college football. In both of those games versus LSU, he played arguably his best games of his career versus the Tigers. And, you know, he had a very sad retirement because of the injury he suffered. He retired today. But I say that because so much just comes down to who the opposing team's quarterback is and if he's having a special day. I watched Sellers versus Clemson because, well, Clemson's returning a lot of talent. And, man, he's good. I mean, I really like Lenore Sellers. And we saw what he did to us last year. And, you know, I think we can all agree that him leaving that game versus LSU last year probably changed the outcome of the game. All right. Now, what I would also bring up is, and I know I've gone back and forth on other shows, Blake in particular, I do think Clemson is a top five team going into next year. And I do have them making the college football playoff comfortably, whether or not they beat us in week one, because I don't think the ACC is going to be all that good next year. I think Clemson is absolutely stacked. They have everything I want in a championship roster. I know there's some offensive line question marks, but they're good on the defensive line. They're good at quarterback. They're good at wide receiver. I would be shocked if we go in there and blow them out. I have a tough time believing this isn't going to be a close game either way. But it is going to be very fascinating because, number one, this game will be played on Saturday. The last couple of years, we played season openers on a Sunday. I kind of miss that. I really do. But I do think, in my heart of hearts, that LSU is going to break the streak and win this game. It's going to be really hard. I would also say, after watching a good bit of Clemson today, I do think this is the second most difficult season opening game we have had during the Brian Kelly era. I know that's not what you want to hear because, well, we've lost three consecutive season openers, but outside of the game in Orlando versus an undefeated Florida State team, I think this Clemson team is better than last year USC, and I think this Clemson team is better than the first year and the first game of the Brian Kelly era in New Orleans versus that Florida State team. So after watching Clemson all day, I do think they're a very good team, if not the best Dabo team since 2019 Clemson, who, of course, we beat in the national championship game. So there you go. Now, coming up next, there is a big, and I mean big, story that broke not in favor of LSU today. And I am going to talk about a nasty internet rumor regarding a Baton Rouge restaurant. Let's go!
Being here at LSU is everything I could have dreamed of.
It's Will Campbell Week here on PHL, and to celebrate, we're teaming up with our friends at Kettle to give out the Rolex that Will Campbell will be wearing on NFL draft night.
Biggest thing for me was, you know, come in and leave it better than I found it.
Oh yeah, did we mention we're also giving away a pair of tickets to a Will Campbell rookie game next year? Are you kidding me? Autographed footballs, helmets, and actually one of my own personal Will Campbell autographs. I'm giving that out as well with our friends at Kettle. Go to our link now, kettle.shop/PHLSU, and for each $10 entry, you have an opportunity to win all of these prizes. You have until May 2nd to sign up. So get to it now, baby. It's Will Campbell Week with Kettle.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. All righty. So big news breaking, not in LSU's favor. Sarah Williams, their number one transfer portal target, goes to Connecticut. Okay. They just won the Natty. They're going to be heavily favored to win it again next year. But we really wanted her, okay? I'm still very excited about the Malaysia Full Wiley commitment and all the other portal commitments and the McDonald's All-American class that they signed. I saw a tweet earlier today, Bob Starkey tweets that the WNBA is actually in town practicing at the LSU practice facility. I don't know which WNBA players, but that's pretty daggum cool. I also saw the photo shoots today throughout the WNBA. You have Angel Reese taking photos, of course, with Haley Van Lith. So there you go. Okay. Now, I am going to defend a Baton Rouge establishment, and they do not need my defending because this obviously isn't the Card of the Power Hour LSU budget type of restaurant, but they took Sarah Williams to a restaurant called the Supper Club. I gotta turn the volume off, and this was part of it. And there she is in BR enjoying the festivities, and people are just slandering the Supper Club. I've never had it, Okay, so I can't say if it is a good restaurant or not. Okay. But everyone's drawing a comparison to Dominic Williams, who went to the Supper Club and it was videoed and we were trying to, you know, get him, and he ended up going elsewhere. Okay. It is not the Supper Club's fault. That's where LSU decided to take Sarah Williams. And people are thinking, oh, it's a bad omen. Well, like we said earlier, Dominic Williams wasn't worth it. Sarah Williams definitely would have been one of LSU's best players this year. She averaged a double-double in the Big Ten, and she's going to do great things at UConn. The one thing I'll say, though, is the Supper Club, to me, is not a Louisiana restaurant. It might be a great restaurant, but the whole popping bottles and the sign, Welcome to Baton Rouge kind of thing, that screams Vegas. That screams Houston. That is not LSU. I keep going back to the Joe Burrow story with Ed Orgeron and how he got, and I believe this lady now works for Baylor, or she might have come back to LSU. Ed made a phone call and got, what was it, 20 pounds of crawfish from Mike Anderson's or something like that. Take our next recruit to Pirates. Take our next recruit to Phil's or any local Cajun restaurant. Because that's what makes Baton Rouge, Baton Rouge. Okay? And once again, I've never been to a supper club. I don't like that people are trashing the establishment just because we're 0-for-2 taking recruits to or transfer portal recruits. They're not the only two recruits we've ever taken there. But don't just slander a business. I mean, don't just do that, okay? I do think, though, a more unique experience could be had, okay? I've also heard great things about the Supper Club. I know it was featured on Game Day. I think Game Day brought some food out for it. So I need to go. I need to go, okay? But it's tough. You know, when I go to Baton Rouge, I do have my establishments, right? When I'm actually spending my time there, I have my spots I want to go to, and then I go to all my auntie's house and eat there. Okay, but there are some places, you know, I have to go every time because it's my home restaurants. So maybe I need to include the Supper Club in the rotation. But I just didn't understand the slandering of it today on Twitter. I just did not get it. Okay. Now, what does this LSU roster look like next year? Well, one thing I will say is it is a smaller roster. All right. You don't get what would have been your best post presence. You lose Samaya Smith. You lose Jersey Wolfenbarger. You lose Del Rosario. Of those three, Samaya Smith was the only one who was actually good. And you're now kind of in a pickle. But what I think could happen, anyone that watches every second of every women's basketball game, okay, I'll admit, I don't do that. I watch probably 75 to 80% of the games. We do a lot of coverage, more than most LSU channels when it comes to women's basketball. What I will say, though, is with the shorter, smaller roster, it might modernize the LSU offense. It is a little static, and there were times where it was just simple two bigs down on the block, very static, not a whole lot of motion, ISO heavy play. Okay. This will be a smaller roster. They do need to get some post presence, or just cross their fingers that, you know, you can get away with playing small ball, which I think you can. I think you can. I will say, this will be the most athletic set of guards that they've ever had, ever. So I'm really excited about Fawali alongside Flage and your go-get-it bucket getter into the shot clock, Michaela Williams. Her best ball is ahead of her. You know, she's only entering year three of her development next year. Pumped up. Okay. Let's go to Chance. He says, hey, I agree with your take on it not being very Louisiana. Yeah. Go, like, if I were to bring some friends in to BR and they've never experienced Baton Rouge before. Now, look, the Supper Club might be a Cajun. I've never been. I've never, ever, ever been. Okay. But I'm probably not, and this goes for any type of restaurant like that. I'm not going to take them to Ruth Chris. You know, it's just not what you're going to do. You're going to take them to a seafood restaurant, a seafood establishment. All right. Or you take an AM Mart, get you a Cajun turkey. I love AM Mart. All right. When I go to Desmond, one of the all-time biggest supporters of what we've done here on PHL. All right. By the way, you can see Desmond, the PHL band. I had to take my bands off today. Are you trying to add 225 to the 337 versus 504 food debate? He's a 337 lean. Okay. I will say this. I do have some weaknesses when it comes to my South Louisiana heritage. All right. So much of my South Louisiana time and food cuisine experience has been mostly located in three cities: New Orleans, Opelousas, and Baton Rouge. All right. Now, have I spent time in Lafayette and eaten in Lafayette? Yeah, absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. Do I need to eat more in Lafayette? I do. Because I get this message all the time that Lafayette's the best food city in Baton Rouge or in Louisiana. I've still never been to Lake Charles. I've gotten that before. Carter, have you ever been to so-and-so establishment in Lake Charles? I like it. I would love to go to Lake Charles. I've still never been to Lake Charles, Louisiana. Okay. But there are real people with real food food pedigree who says Lafayette's the best food city in Louisiana. But don't sleep on some of these North Louisiana towns. The best steakhouse I've ever been in Louisiana is in Ruston. And I'll leave it at that. Okay. Bullfrog says Lake Charles is nothing special. What if Garrett Nussmeyer said, you know what? I'm going to tune in to Mr. Chubby Bruno Mars' channel, Power Hour LSU. And what if he tuned in at that very second just for you to say that? And he said, you know what? I've always wanted to go on Power Hour LSU. Not going to do it. Not going to do it now. I went and ate, I was in Kinder, Louisiana for a day with my guy Dex. And we went to a place called, what was it? Fosto's in Kinder. Dude, it was fire. Absolutely fire. All right. Now, as many of you know, I am not the LSU baseball expert. But boy, it was fun seeing what they did versus Southeastern yesterday. Okay. I will say, and I do think this is very important, that, thank you, Derek. Desmond, excuse me. I really appreciate that. Very generous super chat. Longtime supporter. We need to go have dinner sometime, my brother. I hate doing this. I hate freaking doing what I'm about to do. And you LSU baseball folks might come in my neck. Pause. That's a bad pause. But you might want to find me and slit my throat after this comparison I'm about to make. But Dylan Cruz to Derek Curiel feels like Joe Burrow to Jaden Daniels. Now, once again, there was a Burrow to Daniels gap. There was no gap here with Cruz to Curiel. All right. With that said, or is a 1-year gap, but you get my point. Okay. You get my point. And Desmond, whatever topic you want to get into, you fire away. But Curiel looks the part. Now, you LSU baseball experts, feel free to slit my throat on this. I'm serious. Feel free to tar and feather me, whatever. Do you think Curiel you guys let me know. All right. Let's go to Desmond Super Chat. He says, have I ever eaten that Soyaluz in Opelousas or a deeper cut, Stelly's in Le Beau? I've never been in Le Beau, or at least I don't think I've been to Le Beau. I've actually heard of this restaurant in Opelousas. I've never been. I made it sound like I've eaten in Opelousas a ton. But I will say, Mama's Fried Chicken in Opelousas has a lot of my money. And this is coming from someone that does not live anywhere close to Opelousas. I will say, though, all right, and I need some real OPs to let me know. All right, so there is a development in Opelousas, Louisiana. They built that new Billy's truck stop right down the road. Now, they always had a Billy's near Mama's Fried Chicken, but they built a nicer one, and it's fire. I was randomly passing through, and I saw that it was open, and I went there the second day it opened. It's as good as the Krotz Springs location. I'm serious. It was fire. It was fire, okay? But those are the only two Opelousas restaurants I've been to because, I mean, what else do you really need? Mama's Fried Chicken is worth the hype, though. I would firmly put that in my top 10 Louisiana restaurants. Firmly. Okay. It was crazy. As you guys know, I'm teamed up with Fast Draft Fantasy. All right. Fast Draft Fantasy. You need to go sign up. Go play right now. Use my promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. You don't have to do all the way up to $50. All signups help me out in a major way. Major, major, major way. Fast Draft Fantasy, they love what I'm doing, and make sure you go sign up. But they sent me a player to break down for their big fantasy football thing. I draft a lot of fantasy football teams, and I was stoked that they gave me CeeDee Lamb because I like CeeDee Lamb a lot. It kind of gets lost in the 2019 LSU lore that we beat the bejesus out of a team that has Jalen Hurts and CeeDee Lamb on it. All right? I mean, we beat the mess out of them. So Fast Draft Fantasy sent me an email saying, hey, can you do a video breakdown of how you feel about CeeDee Lamb next year? And CeeDee Lamb's from Opelousas. I'm fired up. I'm going to throw Mama's Fried Chicken in there some way, somehow, because that is, you know, what I think about when it comes to Opelousas. Now, what I could do, if we want to do a full OP food breakdown, I could get Seth Lewis on here, friend of the channel, former PHL guest, now in New Orleans for WWL. But Seth Lewis is from OP, and he is the foremost food expert. All right. Let's go to Desmond in a super chat. He says, I hate to bring it to you, but Soyaluz is pronounced swallows. Wait, really? That's how it's pronounced? Swallows. Tastes good. It sounds good. That is such a major pause. Oh, God. That would be crazy. Let's go to Cole. Bregman Cruz Curiel, LSU Legends. Okay, let's go to Bullfrog. Am I the only one that's worried about Blake Baker's future with LSU? I feel like this defense is going to go crazy next season, and then he's going to take a head coaching job elsewhere. Yeah, I have a tough time believing Blake Baker is not going to get a head coaching job in the near future, right? He's young. He's energetic. Players love playing for him. He's had so many stops at this point. And, you know, he's a very talented coach. But I would venture off to say this. When you are the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football until what just recently happened at Penn State, you have very heavy incentives to stay. Blake Baker obviously has close ties to Louisiana. His wife's close ties to Louisiana. His overall family's close ties to Louisiana. It's going to take a really good job for him to leave. But even if that were the case, let me ask you this. Would you prefer Blake Baker have a season so good that his name is rumored to be in head coaching job circle, hot seat cycle season? Or would you prefer another year where our LSU defense isn't great? And last year, our LSU defense wasn't great. All right. Now, it wasn't abysmal like 2023, but it wasn't great. Now, a lot of that was because of the talent. And I will say, and I've shared it plenty of times before, that it really wasn't much of a secret that LSU was worried about their overall talent going in to last year. Okay? Blake Baker knew that the odds were against him with what he had to work with. All right? And I also kept saying that over and over and over again in every live stream, much to the dismay of quite a few of you, and that's okay. Sometimes you say things that turn out to be true. The worst is when you say something negative like that and the LSU defense is like the steel curtain. That's the worst because everyone goes back to saying, you are so wrong about that. But, you know, I would prefer an elite defensive season and Blake Baker be the number one person in every head coaching search compared to another mediocre season because we're not getting return on investment, which was a pretty big investment. Once again, $2.2+ million to be a coordinator, not a head coach, a coordinator. So I'm worried more than anything else. Can we be a good LSU defense? And I think we will be better. I do. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, we will answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. All right. We want to once again thank our friends at Kettle. All right. Title sponsors of PHL for the last couple of weeks here. Kettle doing this. They're giving out a $20,000 Rolex watch. But my favorite thing about the watch is that Will Campbell wore it on draft night. Another thing about the watch that makes it really, really, really special is it's from a moment, okay? It's a very specific watch, okay? Everyone's always going to know that as the watch that Will Campbell wore on draft night. It's going to hold value. Imagine if he goes to the Hall of Fame. That's basically game-worn memorabilia. Please go use my link. It's the top link in our description. Kettle.shop/PHLSU. Okay. Let's see. Would it be harder to face an ambidextrous pitcher or quarterback? Oh, QB. Easily. Not even close. QB. But then again, I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. Now, I'm pretty sad about that. All right. I am pretty sad about that with Jordan Travis, even though he ripped our hearts out twice with two really good performances versus LSU. I want to say the best for last here because kind of like with the Dominic Williams I didn't like how for so long the biggest story that everybody wanted to know was if LSU was going to land Dominic Williams. I don't ever want this channel to just be recruiting transfer portal channel. It doesn't excite me like many others. It just doesn't excite me the same way. I will say, based on positive vibes, if you will, LSU is feeling better about AJ Halsey. They just are, okay? And I'm not so sure if it's as much to do with LSU as it has to do with Miami. You know, if you're Halsey, you're going from Houston all the way to Miami to go play in the ACC. Now, while LSU's defense was a mess, Miami's defense was also a mess. And I don't think Lance Guidry was the issue. He now goes to, he joins us at LSU from Miami. I understand that there is a connection. I believe Houston's defensive back coach is now at Miami. I think that's what it is. All right. What I would say, though, is if you're Halsey, you're going to be joining a room where there's playing time available and a lot of infrastructure for you to succeed. Mansoor Delane's out there. DJ Pickett is out there. There's a lot of positive hype of LSU's front seven. So, you know, when I called about this earlier, and by earlier I meant noon, I really didn't get anything, but I did get a text roughly about two and a half hours ago that there is more positive steam heading in LSU's direction. But I'm not the insider type. Okay? It's just not what I do. All right. Peter Woods, Pro Football Focus's number one defensive tackle heading into next year. From Clemson. Now, big announcement. We do have a first-time guest tomorrow. You're going to love her. She's great. And LSU baseball, if you're an expert or if you love it, you better tune in tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as we always do on PHO, we want first-time guests to feel very welcome. So that'll be at around 6:30. We'll go live at our normal time at 6, hopefully at 6 p.m. Central. We will be celebrating a new commitment in football. Side to Tyler. What's good, Tyler? Good to see you. Let's go to Blanche. He says he thinks Joe Sloan might not be here in 2026. Well, do you think it is because of bad performance or do you think it's because of good performance? You know, one thing that's interesting to me as you age is that, you know, I've come more to the realization that I'm not going to be like a huge, huge, huge media guy. It's what I've always wanted to do. I wanted to do the national media thing. You always hold out hope. But there's very few needle-moving sports media members. And most of them work for a big organization. So, you know, I'm working towards that goal. But the same is true just in general. There's very few needle-moving people at companies. on sports teams and all those different things. All right. And I do believe it is so important that you have to evaluate how much a player moves the needle in one direction for your team. All right. Perfect example. Giannis in the NBA. There's a lot of rumors about him wanting to go elsewhere, or him having the choice of wanting to move on because the Bucks are, you know, nowhere close to contending, and Dame is hurt, and they're coached by Doc Rivers. All right. And I see all these NBA teams basically saying, hey, he's not a needle. We don't want to trade our young core away. Every single NBA team, I mean, every single one, should be saying, what do we need to do to get Giannis? Or at least think about it. And that young player that you have, he's not as good as Giannis. The future first-round picks that you would have to give up, not as good as Giannis. All right? And it's important to think about that when it comes to college football, because there are so many players that you can recruit, choose from, pay for. There's no salary cap. So you can make any roster you want now in college football. And it's a thing of beauty while also a beautiful mess. Okay? It really is nuts. And I say that because, man, it is insane how few needle-moving college football players there are. It is crazy. So with Halsey, I do think he's very good. I really, really, really do think so. And sometimes when it comes to being a needle-moving player, he's obviously not Giannis. He's not Caleb Downs, if you will. But it just sometimes comes down to him moving the needle, not necessarily in a positive direction, but what you have not moving the needle in a negative direction. And in the current shape LSU safety room is in, I think it could be another negative year at safety. It could be. Even though I like Deshaun Spears, and I'm rooting for Jordan Gilbert to have a bounce back year. I am. How many Tigers get drafted in the NFL draft next year? Ooh, that's a good question. Garrett's a lock. Let's see. Monster Delane is a near lock. Pyburn, I would say, is a lock. Hilton is a lock. But wide receiver can get murky. It can get murky. So if he were to get hurt again, he would probably UDFA. But if he's healthy and produces, fine. We saw this past year, NFL teams love the RAS stuff, which is your athleticism. He is going to absolutely murder pro day, combine, all that stuff. So he'll get drafted. Barron Brown will also probably get drafted as well if he has a good year. So that's five. Peyton will get drafted. That's six. And it obviously depends on what Whit Weeks wants to do. I do think he'll go to the NFL. Seven. Harold Perkins, eight. So there's eight. Not all eight of them will get drafted. So I would put the bare minimum number at five. That's about where I would be with this current roster. With lots of other players having that opportunity. Bauer Sharp has a really good opportunity. Let's go to Bullfrog. He says, DJ Chester was the number one interior offensive lineman out of high school, and Josh Thompson was the number one interior offensive lineman from the portal. Clemson's defensive tackles don't scare him. Yeah, but you have to field three other guys. And once again, DJ Chester had a tough year last year. And we don't know if Josh Thompson is going to play in the middle. He could be a tackle. Peter Woods is a very good player. He is a very, very, very good player. And what's been a little unlucky for Brian Kelly during this era is this has been a murderer's row defensive line era that he's had to face. All right. Now, you could say that about quite a few different eras, but with the portal and honestly, just with what's happened, you know, in college football yesteryear, LSU would have never had to face Jared Verse or Braden Fisk. But the portal brought those guys to Florida State. You wouldn't have had to face, we talked about quite a bit tonight, Dominic Williams, who went to Oklahoma. And he didn't really do anything versus us last year, but you get the point. Guillory, maybe? Thompson? Yeah, I would think he would get drafted. Jamari Butler? Probably not unless he just has a massive sack year, but I hope so. I hope all three of these guys get drafted. I hope we beat our SEC record or NFL record 14, even though I think Georgia might have broke it not too long ago. Okay. Now, that'll do it for me. I heard someone say, I'm having Sloppy Joe's tonight. Not a Sloppy Joe night. I'm actually going to have supper with my mother tonight. We're having Mexican lasagna. She got this recipe from The Advocate 13 years ago. Okay, now we have a lot of Italians that tune in to our channel. I don't know if you like to hear the words Mexican lasagna, but it is fire. It is absolutely positively fire. Don't hate until you try it. It is! Power Hour LSU. Boom! God, this was a fun live stream. It really was. I'm so lucky I get to do this. It is so much fun. And tonight, well, Jordan's doing some scallop pasta. Let's go. We'll go with Jordan's. It's already told you what I was having. Shout out to our top super chatter tonight, Mr. Desmond. We'll talk to you soon. Let's go.